which is what I sort of gathered from your book, rightly or
Michael
wrong.
Hudson, breakout room.
And I was interested in reading your book. I
Friday,
sense that for debt forgiveness,
September
much a part of
29th.
That Bronze Age culture, no doubt about that. But it wasn't so clear to me from reading that the anti-usury feature was prominent at that time, and I wondered whether when the Jews then took, you know, that idea of debt forgiveness, whether they brought in this sort of testimony against usury. So I want to know where that really testimony against usury came from, Michael.
Can I add? Okay. There was no different word in antiquity, in any society, for you between usury and interest. The word, everybody used one word, usury. What was new was the concept of interest, which, and that meant usury. If a Christian made loans, it was usury. If a Jewish made a loan, it was, no, if a Christian made a loan, it was interest. If a Jewish person made a loan, that was usury. And the reintroduction of credit, the overturning of the Christian banning of usury in all early Christianity was led by the papacy. The papacy brought interest-bearing debt back into the European economy in the 12th and 13th centuries in order to raise war debts. Rome wanted to essentially, the Crusades, most of you think of the Crusades as going to the Holy Land and fighting the Muslims. The Crusades were against Christians. They were against Christians that Rome could not control. And Rome, essentially, the popes made deals with the Norman warlords, first Robert Guiscard in Sicily in southern Italy, and then Norman the Conqueror. And the popes said, we will back you and sanctify your rule, and we will excommunicate any parliamentary reformers who try to limit your ability to run your country into debt. And the Catholic Church changed by the 13th century. The Catholic Church excommunicated people who opposed usury, not who practiced it. They turned usury upside down. But I want to, your first point was, where did the Jewish practice come from? When Hammurabi and the Babylonians canceled the debts, this was called underarum, a clean slate. The Hebrew word was a cognate, duror. So what happened was when the Jewish upper class who had been taken into captivity in Babylon were permitted to go back to the Judea the Persians, they had acclimatized in Babylonia. We have their cuneiform records, we have their legal records and their legacies, and they had essentially familiarized themselves and brought this concept back to Judea. And there was a little bit of self-interest there. The whole idea of a clean slate, not only to cancel the debts, but you also liberate the bond servants who'd been pushed into bondage for debt, and you give the land back. Well, imagine when the wealthy families of Jewish families came back from Persia into Judea. It was very much like today's, imagine the Florida Republicans, the Cubans, going back to Cuba and saying, give us back our land. The Persians had divided the land up and had a pretty democratic, popular, widespread land tenure. Well, now the families came back, give us back our property. And brought it out. And we don't have much written documentation for what happened between the Jewish return from captivity and the time of Jesus, because they didn't use clay cuneiform. And yeah. They lost it. But by the time we can pick we can pick up the Dead Sea Scrolls. We find that there was which were essentially the library of Jerusalem. There was a whole political fight between the creditors and the debtors. And Jesus represented the debtors against the rabbinical class, and Luke describes this, saying that the Pharisees loved money, and population in Jesus' hometown, when he gave his first, he came to the synagogue and he gave his first lecture, unrolled the scroll of Isaiah, and to the point where Isaiah said, the year of the Lord, which meant the Jubilee year, and said that's what Jesus had come to proclaim. Well, that was what really upset the financial creditor class of Judea, just like today. Well, yeah, so the Lord's Prayer that Jesus gave on the Sermon on the Mount was, forgive them their debts as we forgive the debtors. And we know that they meant debt, not sin, because we have the early Greek translation of the Bible. Well, what happened was that after Constantine made Judaism the state religion, all of a sudden they weren't going to criticize the ruling class, because Rome's ruling class was a state. And then you had the man who untracked Christianity. You had someone who hated everything that Jesus said, and that was St. Augustine. And Augustine said, he called in the Roman army and said, you have to kill the people who don't believe with my Christianity. I have a new Christianity, and what I say is true. He said, we have the old Christians, the Donatists, who want to protect the debtors from the creditors, who want to prevent landlords from kicking them off the land. Please kill them. It was St. Augustine that founded the Inquisition and said, if you want to be a good Christian, you have to kill everybody who disagrees with you, because if you don't have total control of society, you cannot save souls. And what was Augustine going to do with this rotten theory to say it's not about debt? He said, well, it's all about sin, and it's actually all about sex. So, everybody's a sinner. It comes from Adam, and you can cure yourself. You're all sinners. Fortunately, we can sell you the right to get free from sin. We'll sell you indulgences.
Michael, Sue wants to get in a question. Can she do that?
Yes. Also, sorry to interrupt, Mr. Hudson. I just wanted to relay that Stephen wanted to speak with you in the main room, and there is 3 minutes and a half left. So, you want to address Sue's question and then maybe head to the main room? You can do so by just clicking on the button at the bottom of your screen that says "Leave Room," and you could go ahead.
Well, anyway, that's the story of Augustine, and that's the closing chapter that I was doing in the Collapse of Antiquity, but right now I'm writing the sequel, and I'm working on the Middle Ages, and the important thing is that it was the Catholic Church that brought
you
the
question.
Yeah.
We don't have much time. Okay.
Take all the time you want.
I was listening.
That's what we're here for.
I was listening, and you made a point, you know, in the main meeting. You feel how important it is for a society to get rid of debt, right?
Yep.
And if that's
not get rid of it, a clean slate, you cancel it, and then it all begins over again.
Okay.
And
okay, let me finish my question.
Yeah.
If this is true, why did you turn to MMT, which keeps bank creation of debt money, also called credit creation, keeps that, and keeps our government digging deeper and deeper into our debt?
Well, the answer is that MMT is an analysis of how the current system actually operates. So very often, for instance, I went around the world basically for many years with Stephanie Kelton. She would give the first introductory lecture about how the government spent money into the economy, and that's what provided the economy basically with money. Government could simply create the money. It doesn't have to borrow money, and it doesn't have to It could make a platinum coin if it wanted and issue it. So Stephanie would say the government can run into debt. Then I would usually be the second speaker. And I'd say, the second question is, what are you going to create the money for? In other words, you have certainly the best known MMTers are Donald Trump and the Vice President Cheney, who said deficits don't matter. They don't matter because we're never going to pay them. And so basically the Republicans that have appropriated MMT, and I'd say there's a good way of spending money into the economy, and all of us MMTers from Kansas City want to use money to essentially fuel the economy. And there's bad money creation to fund wars, to cut taxes on the wealthy and, you know, shift them onto others.
But Michael, you guys at MMT keep bank creation of money.
Yes, for the time being, banks are a fact of life. We're not. It would be utopian to come in and say, just get rid of the banks.
Creation. Yeah. Don't get rid of the banks, but bank creation of our money.
I support, along with Dennis Kucinich, the Chicago plan. So we don't say that that's the ideal. We say that's what's happening now. And if the banks are going to create money, and if they make bad loans, as they did in the financial crisis of 2008, they should cancel the debts, and that would wipe out the banks. And the banks then would be taken over to the public sector, just as Sheila Bair wanted to take Citibank. Nationalize it, because it was a crooked bank in addition to being incompetent. So the whole idea is, the banks make loans, and if they make loans that cannot be paid, if they make the kind of loans that don't behave the way the textbooks say they do, then the loans get wiped out. So there's always going to be credit. In Babylonia, as soon as they canceled the debts, credit would begin again. But when the credit got beyond the ability to pay, that's when it would be wiped out, canceled. So yes, interest is a fact of life. If interest were really to be a sharing between the borrower and the creditor.
Jesus, what bullshit.
Monday at 6:48 p.m.
I'm on the
end of messages. Monday at 9:26 p.m.
Sue, it's Julie. Just calling to touch base. Nothing urgent. I did have
message.
Recording in progress.
Monday at 3:39 p.m.
It seems like everyone is back. Steven, you want to take it over? And just a friendly reminder to you, you're not speaking at the moment. Please mute yourself to avoid noise in the background.
Thank you. Is Michael Hudson around?
Everyone should be back. Let me find him.
The biopsy results, it does not come up as anything cancerous or too concerning. It does just require
can you hear me?
Follow-up. So
yes.
I can hear you, Tom. Oh, okay. I couldn't be heard in the breakout room, but I fixed my problem. Now I see. Oh, good. Hello, Michael.
Can I ask Michael a quick question?
Wait, did we record what we just had a discussion? Did we record any of that?
So the recording is enabled as long as there is a host, and I believe it wasn't large part of that conversation. So
wait. Were the breakout rooms recorded, Alfonso?
As long as there was so I wasn't aware that we were gonna have a breakout room ahead of time, and I just open up breakout rooms. But if there was a host or co-host in that conversation, then it did automatically got recorded.
Does that mean it was recorded or not?
Our conversation, not, yes. The larger
Okay, because it was a good discussion.
Yeah, it most certainly was.
Okay.
Do you want Michael, why don't we start with your room? Do you want to, or do we want one of the guests? How do you want to handle that? Who wants to give the summary of that conversation?
Not me. Well, I think one of the other people who were in it.
Okay.
The two first people who asked the questions.
I'm going to guess one of them.
I can do that, Steve. I was in the group.
Thank you, John.
And I had asked him a question about that arose in my reading of his book, the Forgive Them Their Debts. So we're talking about some of that history from that era. And Michael does have a tendency, once he starts on that kind of thing, wants to follow the history through to completion. So that was a long answer. But finally, Sue Peters got in another question. And she wanted to probe Michael in terms of the difference that seems to be between MMT and the approach of the Chicago plan and many of the rest of us who were involved with this about whether or not banks should be permitted to continue to create money. And so Michael offered a response.
Here's the problem. MMT describes how the world operates. This leads to us being attacked from precisely the grounds that Sue Peters attacked. They don't want us to talk about how the world operates. They say, only talk about our utopia. Talk about the future. Don't talk about how the real world operates. Well, quite frankly, that kind of sectarianism is what began to wreck the AMI in its later years. It's what made Steve Zarlenga become persona non grata in the most of the reformers, because he'd say, you're not talking about what I'm talking about. You're talking about how the world works. I'm talking about how the world wants to work. Well, quite frankly, that attitude is going to destroy any attempt at monetary reform. If you say, we only want you to talk about what the ideal world should be, don't talk about how the current situation developed, don't talk about the reality of how banks operate and how governments create money and the effect of it, then you're going to divorce yourself from any kind of grounding in the reality of what is. And that's the danger of monetary reformers, that they're utopians, and they attack each other for not writing about what their interest is. They're not at all interested in how the world works or what reality is. They have single-minded, and to them, it's a psychodrama, and you don't want neurotic people acting out their psychodramas as if that's monetary theory. That's going to lead... That's what I think has frightened so many people away from the monetary reformers, just like they're frightened of the Georgists or people who have a panacea. The panacea mongers say, if you don't have our panacea, we don't want to talk to you. Well, I hope that that's what the AMI and what the positive money people and the people on this group are going to avoid and not let poison the discussion.
Yeah, let me, if I could, I'd like to make a few comments. One is, I hear what you're saying, and Michael, I've often listened to your perspective, and one of the things you say, for credit, if there's credit on one hand, the flip side of that credit is debt, and it's a sectorial balance between government, the private groups, the public sector and the commercial sector, and you can look at economies in a country such as Michael has looked in Greece, for example, and other places, and make a good analysis, make a very interesting and important and a useful analysis. The lead people.
What? A big deal? A big deal, but he's exposing himself to everybody. Steven's putting icing on the cake so everyone can feel happy.
Hello,
Okay.